Hello and welcome to episode 24 of Disky Discussions. I'm your host, AB Basson. This week's episode, I'm joined by eDisky Times journalist Rob Delport. Join us as we unpack another drama-filled GLAD Africa Championship season. We also chat about Mamelodi Sundowns, AmaZulu, and much, much more. Rob, thanks for joining me on Disky Discussions. It's been another season of drama in the GLAD Africa Championship. I think we've come quite accustomed to it in South Africa's second division. I think this season, though, stands out above all the other seasons, having two winners or two teams declare themselves winners of the division. What do you make of all of it? And what did you make of Sunday's scene, seeing Royal AM, you know, go crazy on the pitch and the same in Sekhukhune's dressing room afterwards? What do you make all of it? Just your initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts were like, why do we have to not know something that unfortunately does often happen in our leagues, things getting resolved in the boardrooms and that. And the worst scenario possible is that when it's happening with the champions, you know, if this is happening with teams out of the games that are televised and things like that, you know, like we've seen before in relegation battles and things last season with TS Sporting and Umbumbela, it's not as noticeable. But it really was like, maybe, you know, I'm someone who wants these games televised all the time so I can see what's happening. Yeah. And I actually was thinking, maybe it shouldn't have been televised this weekend. Maybe I shouldn't be watching this. Also because, you know, you're led by the broadcasters. So you're seeing what the league that the broadcasters are showing on TV. So last week, for a couple of days, I thought Sekhukhune were top because of the award that they were given last week by the DC. Although I must admit, I was surprised by the award because whenever I go through those NSL books, I always find it difficult to find a line anywhere that says you award the opposite team 3 points.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a surprise. But yeah, I mean, and then it, even afterwards on social media, seeing teams with, albeit not official medals around their neck, players celebrating. I mean, whoever isn't going to win the league, whoever this finally decides isn't, is going to be psychologically a little scarred going into those playoffs because of this, I think.
Yeah, most definitely. I think the league said today, the PSL said today, that it has to be concluded by the 30th of June because obviously contracts expire then. This puts a lot of pressure on them having to come to a conclusion swiftly because obviously Richards Bay are in the third position and they're waiting to see who they will face in 15th. In all likelihood, it looks like it might be Chippa United. But like you said, there will be a scar, and be it Royal AM or Sekhukhune, do you think they will go into those playoffs motivated, or do you think it will be the opposite?
Well, I think they're going to go in motivated because they're going to have a point to prove. But still, it can be exhausting celebrating. You know, every time I've seen teams celebrate something, it's so often afterwards you see a dip. You know, because psychologically you stop. You know, it's actually completely unrelated, but I saw Mankoba talking about the game that Sundowns are playing against SuperSport, saying it's not a league decider for him because they play in a block of five games, and he doesn't want the team to be demotivated for the next few games if the league is decided. And I think that happens. You know, if I think that this was the 30th and final game I'm playing in the season, My entire body can relax. And when you're talking about a team, you know, you need those guys to be focused on the next game immediately. So this it's really a disservice to the football and to both teams that this matter wasn't resolved and appealed and all of that in February already, considering the match in question happened in January. And I think basically that's something that the PSL needs to look at. It's not always their fault. Sometimes it's got to do with logistics and clubs and the availability of prosecutors and things like that. But perhaps a system has to be put in place to protect that. and to just protect the game.
If you just look at the first and second place from last season, Swallows going up obviously on goal difference, and they're having a great first season in the DSTV Premiership. And then you look at Cape Town Spurs, who obviously were Ajax Cape Town back then. They battled relegation, survived on the final day. So it just shows you what a big difference it can make going up and not going up, because I think every season is so different, and the league is probably one of the most competitive around.
Yeah, I mean, Cape Town Spurs, Ajax Cape Town, Kaizer Chiefs, the two teams that basically messed it up on the last few days of the league last season, were scarred in that division. And obviously Chiefs have a higher level of player and didn't lose anybody. So their higher position in the DSTV Premiership most probably comes down to that experience on top of that. Cape Town Spurs, I mean, honestly, you should delete our preview from the beginning of the season, because I really thought that they would be up there fighting. You know, they have a lot of really talented players, but they're talented players who may not have experienced winning before, and have now also experienced something of almost winning, which can be really painful. And then you have also a lot of changes in technical team. You have the Ajax Amsterdam pulling out. I wish I could understand what happened completely with them this season, because basically it really was, you know, they fell in a hole at the beginning and battled to get out. And every time they started getting out, the teams around them kicked sand in their face and they fell down again. And it took pretty much three quarters of the season for them to get their face out of that hole, to just peek out and then manage to slip out. It must be, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone at that club, they've got a lot of young players, but I'm pretty sure everyone aged a lot this past season.
When I look at Cape Town Spurs, I think it might be accumulation of things this past season. Obviously, you know, with the turnover of players, they probably had 30 to 40 players that played for them this season, which, you know, no real consistency, which couldn't be a good thing. You know, they had injuries to key players. If you think of Abednego missing most of the season, he was obviously top scorer. So what do you think is the one factor that really, you know, put them in the hole that they found themselves in? Or do you think it's just the accumulation of things and obviously just the scar of missing out and coming so close?
Yeah, I think the scar definitely had a part to play at the beginning. I think they lost a bit of their core of the team at the start of the season. And I think you also have to take the opponents that they play. You know, the thing is that a lot of the time you walk into a room that you've been in before and you think it's going to be the same. But if the participants in the room that you're competing against are different, they're going to be different outcomes. And a lot of the other GLAAD Africa teams this season really stepped up. No one was a pushover. And I mean, in Spurs' case, they also lost games to teams like they lost both their matches to Bizana Pondo Chiefs, you know, where no one else really did something like that. And had they won those games, they would have been in the top eight. You know, that's the other thing is that this GLAAD Africa Championship season was ridiculously low scoring and tight from top to bottom. You know, there wasn't this huge gap of 40 points between the top and the bottom. At one point when Ian Taylor was still at Spurs and they won the game to get out of the bottom two spots and then were awarded the 3 points from Cape United, they were suddenly three wins away from a playoff spot.
Yeah.
At that point. So that's how tight it was, that with five games to go, had they won all those games, we wouldn't be talking about them just escaping relegation.
I mean, I've got the log in front of me and I've looked at Spurs, they ended on 33 points and Royal AM in the end accumulated 51. Obviously, Sekakuna could go up a bit more, could go above that. But essentially, there are 20 points between first and, you know, 14th spot on the league. So that just, it's just evident of how close the league is. What do you think it is so close? And there seems to be very little consistency in the teams. I mean, Royal AM only won 13 games in 30, and yet they are champions of the league. I mean, there just doesn't seem to be any consistency. And like you said, Spurs losing both the games to Bizana Pondo Chiefs, who ended up being quite comfortably relegated in the end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that throughout the season, we saw a few teams take over at the top of the table, but no one ever stamped their authority on this league. To be honest with you, I mean, Royal AM are currently top on the official league that's out there. But had you told me 5 weeks ago that that would be the case, I would have said, no, no ways. No, Richards Bay is going to be there. Hmm. Then suddenly, you know, that switched around again. And that was happening throughout the season. Teams would get to the top of the mountain and then slip down the other side, you know. And sometimes that happens in leagues where, I mean, I'm just thinking back to the past few seasons where you had a team like Thunder Royal Zulu or Highlands Park or Baraka, who basically got to the top. And then basically started beating their chests and saying, look, we top and we staying top. I mean, Highlands Park, the season after they got promoted and then relegated, then promoted again. When Owen de Gama took over, I don't think they lost a game after he took over. I think they'd lost it before then, and then they just dominated. Yeah. And this season wasn't like that. Last season was also kind of iffy because, you know, Ajax were top of the log for a very long time, but they were top of the log for a very long time because of COVID. Because it was only a week or two at the top, you know, as the year turned, they went top. And then obviously 2 months, 3 months later, the lockdown happened. That was also a weird league because Utengati were running away with it last season, you know, for the first 3 months, 4 months. And then they slipped. And then what happened is that you saw form teams go like Swallows then flew in for the remainder. This season, so last season we saw three form teams. This season, I don't think we actually saw a form team. We saw ebbs and flows. Richards Bay had moments where they kept coming back, but then the moment they went up, they went back down. And yeah. Sekou Koune were the same from the beginning. Most probably the most consistent two teams in the league were Sekou Koune and Richards Bay, but it wasn't necessarily a good consistency. It was the winning and losing consistency.
Yeah. I mean, if obviously we touched on Cape Town Spurs and the disappointing season they had, I think, you know, that's quite evident. But if you look at a team like Cape United and the run they put together, I mean, they obviously won their first three games, same as Amatux, if I can remember correctly, and then went on this incredible winless streak. And then all of a sudden they put together probably the longest unbeaten run in the league this season, maybe barring TS Sporting, who also went on that incredible winning run. I mean, just to talk about inconsistency. But Cape United, I mean, they ended up on 41 points, but they didn't win any of their last three games, and obviously also had the 3 points that they lost out on against Cape Town Spurs. Do you think they look back at this season and think, you know, this could have been our season? I mean, a lot of teams will feel like that, but maybe especially them.
Yeah, I think that they're a case of the real 2020-2021 syndrome, because a lot of that did come down to COVID and that as well. You know, they started like a house on fire. They've got a very good squad as well. A lot of experienced players mixed with some interesting young players. And the consistency looked like it was happening, like you said, in moments. But then in that patch in the middle, let's remember that the reason that Cape Town Spurs got those 3 points was they actually couldn't honor a fixture. Because I think prior to that, they'd taken all 30-odd people in the club to the games because they were playing two or three games away. And I think 75% of those people came back with positive tests. And, you know, something we have not spoken about in football at all is, you know, obviously getting a positive test, a lot of people recover very easily. But we haven't spoken about how it actually affects players' recovery, because 2 weeks, they get the negative test and supposedly they get back into a squad. But because things haven't been as open, or, you know, do all players recover the same? I mean, I'm just thinking of human beings where, like, I've known people who've tested positive. 1-2 weeks later is jogging. The other 2 weeks later is like everything tastes like Weet-Bix. Everything tastes like this. And so, you know, just because these guys are young and fit and athletic doesn't mean that it doesn't affect them in different ways, you know, just conditioning wise and things like that. So I do think that they may have had a bit of that syndrome this season. I think Roger will be disappointed, because I think the team obviously we didn't get to see much, but I also heard they were playing really good football. And there was a lot of, performances against some of the stronger teams who are at the top, where they outshone those teams.
Yeah.
So I do think he'll be a bit disappointed, but I think, like in with all football, you know, it's I've been using this analogy. It's like surfing a wave. You know, once the wave crashes, you can't say, "Oh man, I want to surf that same wave again." It's gone. You know, you have to find another wave, and that's how seasons are in football. You can rue what happened in the past, but if you do that too long, you're going to miss the next wave, because, you know, it's coming again next season. So hopefully a side like Cape United can build on what they did this season.
Yeah, definitely a season of could have been for a lot of teams. I mean, I'm just going down the log and I look at Free State Stars, you know, JDR Stars, you know, even Jomo Cosmos, maybe to an extent. And then, you know, I see Polokwane City in the end finishing 12th, obviously relegated from DSV Premiership last season. You think for them, it's just a season of, okay, we survived. We didn't go back-to-back as we've seen in the past. You know, Swallows, obviously, Morocco Swallows, I think they went back-to-back. And you think of Wolves in the Premier League, back-to-back relegations a few seasons back before they found themselves back in the Premier League. You think it's easy to fall into that trap, especially after, you know, the DSV Premiership season, where you could lose up to 10 to 15 players and you have to rebuild and just make sure that you hang on for dear life?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised, because Polokwane did lose a few players, but they also kept quite a few players. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they were happy players. And, again, relegation is a psychological scar that either motivates you or makes you want to question everything. And I think they also got hit a little by the coaching change. I think Johnny Ferreira and them finished the season quite well, although inconsistently. But I think the problem was is that they didn't start too badly under McDonald Makubedu, but he obviously went to Sekou Kune, and that little period in between also caused a slide on them, and then they also found themselves in a bit of a hole. Always like they would win or draw a game, and where it should have been a positive result, the teams around them got better results. And so you find yourself, you know, being unbeaten in two games, but having dropped two positions. And sometimes that causes other problems. I think when teams get relegated, it's how you respond immediately. And I always think that the teams who respond immediately with a reactive, strong way do well. For example, Owen de Gama, he's a premiership coach. You know, that's where he coaches, and that's where he succeeds. So when Highlands Park brought him in, immediately it gave them a positive upswing. Free State Stars, I think they started the season terribly this year. But when Alan Freeze came in, they suddenly found that, you know, they created a team that every now and then it looked like, oh, they're going to sneak into those top positions. They also just found a little bit of inconsistency at times, losing some games that maybe they thought on paper they were going to win. And but they're the team that I would watch next season, because they've got, if that foundation stays over for this season, a lot of the time it's about how you start, how your entire environment is, and some of the GLAAD Africa teams have to learn this, you know, and take a lesson from what AmaZulu are doing, you know, where you have an owner who came in and spoke big, and then acted big. Because it's easy to say, yeah, I want to be at the top of the league. But you also have to sign the players. You also have to get a coach who really believes he can get there. Not like, yeah, every coach wants to win games. But let's be frank, there are some people who are winners and some people who are survivors. And I see it all the time with struggling teams when they're like, yeah, we're going to bring in a coach to save us from relegation. They bring in the coach who saved from relegation before. And that's cool. That's what he is. He's a rescuer. He's not a winner. If you want a winner, you've got to get those types of coaches, the coach who cries like Pizzo when he loses. You know, you want that emotion.
Yeah. I mean, I just immediately think of Sean Bartlett when he brought Golden Arrows up, and you know, that's the type of character you need in the dressing room when you want to escape a very, very difficult league. You know, you look at Steenbergen United and Bizana Ponduchus, obviously now relegated to the ABC Motsepe. We talk about difficult leagues. ABC Motsepe League is another one that's very difficult to escape. What next for those two teams do you feel? Obviously, Bizana Ponduchus bringing in Clinton Larson, another premiership coach, obviously relegated to Polokwane City last season. But he had success in the top division with Bloemfontein Celtic, most notably. What next for those two teams, do you feel? And do you see them, you know, making a return at all to the second division in the near future?
Yeah, well, I believe Larson's left. Obviously, them going back to the ABC. Because remember, I had high hopes. I'm an Eastern Cape boy, so I had high hopes for Bizana Ponduchus. But they based themselves in Durban, so I distance myself from them at the moment. But basically, yeah, I really did feel sorry for them. I felt sorry for them, and I felt sorry for Pretoria Callies, even though they did as well as they did, all things considering, because they were promoted in the same month that the league started. And when you're going from a semi-pro amateur team to a professional team, I mean, you have to acquire players. Unless you got very lucky, which I think Pretoria Callies actually did. They had players who had experienced professional football before, so it was a little easier for some of them. But Bizana Ponduchus, you know, they were like, "Oh, we need experience. Who's available?" You have these old guys who have wonderful experience, but not necessarily experience in the GLAAD Africa. Some of them, like Musa Bilinkulu and these sorts of guys, had experience in top flight football. They've never really experienced what Bizana were going to go through. So while I'm sure they added a lot of value and brought a lot of value to the players, they weren't necessarily going to save them. Bizana also, unfortunately, it's a case of them stumbling throughout and never being able to get, maybe if they'd been in the Eastern Cape in their hometown, that might have been what was needed. But unfortunately, they didn't have time to get those facilities and that up to standard or anything like that. Yeah. Steenberg, you know, I know when I interviewed Nassif Morris, who was in charge of Steenberg at the beginning of the season, that he had zero players signed. When he took over as coach, there was not one contracted player. So technically, they started from scratch too. Yeah. And yes, they brought a lot of the players who were there last season and that. But yeah, it's such a difficult one because if you look at their movement in the league, they kept looking like they were about to push up and then drop down. about to push up. And I just think that perhaps the quality of the squad and just wasn't at the same level as some of the others. They didn't have as many match wins. Some of the players that had been match winners for them the year before had moved on to other clubs. Mike Lukubeni came back as coach. And for at times, it looked like it was going to become like the Stierenberg of old, who battle for results and have some good results through some good goals, and they're fighters. But they're going back to familiar territory now. That's where they fought for like a decade. You know, they were winning the ABC Motsepe League every second season, not making it through the playoffs, then finally did.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what happens there, because with them, I don't know if they want to go through all of that again. You might find it's one of the clubs that franchises ends up getting sold. With Bazana, I think they've now got the taste. I think they're going to go back and try and do it again.
It's
the hardest thing to do, because you ABC Motsepe League, you win your league, you champions, you then have to go and meet 9 other champions. And if you're the worst champion, you have no chance. If you're a champ, you know, the playoffs, I mean, 9 into 2 is just not maths. You can't divide 9 into 2. It's unfair, but that's unfortunately the system that we work.
Yeah. Wish them all the best of luck. And yeah, maybe just on let's end with the champions, so to speak. As things stand on the Premier Soccer League's website, they are the champions. So let's talk about Royal AM. Just to end things off on the GLAD Africa Championship, what will they bring to the top division? Obviously, an owner with a lot of money, a chairperson who's the youngest in the league, probably one of the youngest in the world, if not the youngest in the world at 19. They said in after the win against Amatux that they'll bring some spice to the league, which I don't doubt. I'm looking forward to it. What do you think? You know, what can these premiership teams expect from them? And obviously another KZN team that's got high ambitions. I mean, they'll probably come up and say, you know, we want to win the league this season, and why not?
Yeah, look, if it's Royal AM, it's going to be fun. They are a fun team. They've always been a fun team, even before in their previous form of Royal Eagles. I mean, I could go watch a GLAD or NFD game at the time and see Katlego Mpela. They throughout the years, the Royal Eagles signed a lot of top players, you know, and just they were a bit of the glamour team of the league. But for some reason, they just couldn't push on and get promotion. And they've had better squads than this squad that they have currently, you know, in those years. I mean, especially on paper. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they bring. Like, I think they're going to bring very nice kits, awesome tracksuits, helicopter arrivals of the chair lady. The owner. I think they bring something that a lot of teams forget is important, and that is a club personality. You know, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but it's good to see that character in our league. You know, it's what makes Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs and Mamelodi Sundowns great, is that the clubs all have character. Sometimes some other teams, they're books without a cover. And sometimes having a cover on a book makes you like, hey, I want to read this.
Bedazzled,
even if the story,
bedazzled book.
Yeah, the bedazzled book. And they're a bit of a bedazzled team. And let's just in case it turns the other way around and Sekou Kune do go up, they're less bedazzled, but just as shiny. I mean, they had a very impressive launch, a very impressive first season. By all accounts, people who've even worked at the club and left the club, like Johnny Ferreira, speak very highly of the owners and their ambitions. They've brought in Temba Satoli from Free State now in their youth department. You know, they're an ambitious club who look like they're trying to do things correctly. Yeah. So they could also be good. Listen, whoever comes up is exciting. This past season, we've seen with Swallows that the gap is not as big as everybody thinks it is. You know, we saw it in the Nedbank Cup as well. You know, the gap between Richards Bay beating Kaizer Chiefs is not David versus Goliath. It's Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield. Okay. Yeah, you expect the guy who can punch to win, but it's not necessarily going to happen. And that's something I kind of like about our league, but it's also something that the top teams need to realize that if you want to be a top team, you've got to be like Sundance. You know, when you have 11 players out, they have 11 stars coming in. There's a different level. And that's what the Premiership should be like compared to the GLAD Africa, but it's not. Maybe Bizana, Pondo Chiefs and Kaizer Chiefs are different. Maybe the bottom teams are the GLAD Africa, but as we've seen how tight the GLAD Africa was, I would say that 13 teams, if they had got promoted this season, they would be competitive next season.
Yeah. That's a good place to start, maybe in terms of the DStv Premiership. Sundowns, who could be crown champions before this podcast actually comes out, if they beat SuperSport United. It's almost like they just
lose to Orlando Pirates tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. So by all means, they are champions already. I can't see them slipping up in the final few games of the season. They almost didn't move out of third gear. I felt, you know, there was that slight dip in form where Amazulu, you know, saw a window, but they quickly shut that window before they went on their Champions League journey, obviously losing to Al Ahly in the end. What did you make of Sundowns this season? They on course for a fourth title in a row. The coaching trident took over from Pitso, and it's almost as if nothing has changed. They signed really well, I thought. They've gone through a few patchy transfer windows in the past, but I felt that they brought in really good players. It actually added a lot of value. What did you make of them this season, just quickly? And do you think there is a team that could stop them in the near future?
Start with the second one. Is there a team that can stop them? Well, that's up to the other teams. You know, if you're going to compete, you've got to compete properly. Sundowns, this was a transition season for them. We saw it with the slight changes in player personnel, the way they brought in some of the younger guys and sidelined some of their older guys. If this is a transition season, I think other clubs need to be careful, because I personally think that Sundowns are, this season, one of the best three clubs on the continent. They just happened to unfortunately meet one of the other top three clubs in the continent in the last eight. Mm. Had they gone in maybe in any of the other draws in the semifinal, in the quarterfinals, I think they'd be in the CAF Champions League semifinals. You know, I think Sundowns this season in the league were, you know, we talk about a slump, and a slump for Sundowns was not, it wasn't like losing three games. It wasn't even losing two games. It was drawing. Drawing. Yeah, it was losing a game. It was like, oh my God, what the hell? That's how good they are at the moment. You know, and when they lost, everybody's jaws dropped. You know, it was a shock loss. And it was a shock loss because of, two goals in 3 minutes.
Yeah. It was Chiefs after all. It wasn't like they were losing to some other team.
Exactly. They lost to Kaizer Chiefs, and maybe for 15 minutes of that game, they were outplayed. Yeah. For maybe, I think I'm being kind. And we were like, oh, wow, what a slump. You know? But that's how good that team is and how much they are improving. And I'd be warning other teams, because Peter Shalalila has only just come into the team. If I don't see them necessarily losing too many players at the end of the season. And even the players that they could lose were rotational players. you know, guys who might be first choice in 90% of other teams, but they were rotating. I mean, some of their stars were rotating in that team. I think they're deserving champions this season. It tells you a lot about the season as well, that a team that could be 13th in December are second and really are the other form team, you know. And the way, I mean, and I think that is the thing about this season, is that Sundowns, everything is expected. What Benny's done at AmaZulu and what Mandla Ntsikazi has done at Golden Arrows, that's a bit less expected. You know, I really did expect Benny to do wonders at AmaZulu, but I was thinking 2021, 2022. You know, I wasn't expecting this race up. And I mean, that they won result away from Champions League football. And that if they beat Pirates tomorrow, I don't think Pirates can catch them anymore. And that's it. You know, so Sundowns are going to be, and that's going to be the interesting thing for me, is that here are these upstarts now in AmaZulu. What do they sign? Do they bring in players who can challenge? Because they've got the fight. And what does this say to the other big teams, the teams who should be punching, like SuperSport, who are playing them this evening? I mean, SuperSport have a very talented squad, and they really should be more consistent. Obviously, Pirates, a similar story. I think Pirates have a very talented squad, but it's like at the moment they have all these colors in the paint palette, but they don't quite know what color to paint this guy. The combinations and things aren't quite working yet. You see it in moments. You see these blitz moments that they have, and you think, geez, that's good. And then a moment later, they'll concede on the other end. So that consistency isn't there with them. And obviously Chiefs, I think Chiefs are the anomaly this season. I keep looking at the squad of players that they have, even the guys they have now, and think, well, yeah, I mean, obviously they psychologically were disturbed and had a bit of a block, because those players are better than that. You know, so the next season, I expect them with more signings to be challenging. But what are Sundowns going to do? Because, you know, it's like if, again, using silly analogies, but if we're in the same race and I'm 100 meters ahead of you and I don't stop sprinting, I'm always going to be 100 meters ahead of you. So you really have to do more work behind me and hope that I stop sprinting. And, you know, talking to people who've been at who were at Sundowns 14 years ago and 15 years ago, some of the players, none of them are surprised by what's happening, because they were there when Motsepe came in. And a lot of them have told me that from day one, what is happening now was what Patrice and now the Motsepe family, I guess, as owners, wanted, you know. They set those goals, and then they kept furthering those goals.
Yeah.
And so you first have to catch up with Sundowns. I think that's going to be interesting to see if anybody can catch up with Sundowns, or whether they can, or whether they're going to self-implode ever. Because I don't know, if I still think they're a work in progress when I watch them. I'm like, they outplay most teams, but when I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, those guys haven't got a combination yet. When they click, that's going to be interesting, you know, whether it be Aubrey Modiba, who shown signs recently of performing really well.
Yeah.
But for a lot of the season, he was there, but not quite clicking. Nkolize as well. These guys are only just clicking into the team as well. So if that ever works, yeah, I think other teams have got a big battle ahead of them.
Yeah, there's that famous photo, I think, of Motsepe at Loftus, where he just bought the club. Or bought full ownership of the club. And you think back of, obviously, in the 70s when Kaizer started Kaizer Chiefs, and maybe there could be parallels between what's happening at AmaZulu. And we can maybe say in 10 years' time, you know, the ownership that came in 2000 and what was it, 2020, 2029, they they had this vision in 10 years' time. And, you know, you look at the results, and obviously it's difficult to say after a few months. It could have just been a phase that they were going through, a bit of luck on their side, 16 games unbeaten before losing to Barroca. But you look at them and think, oh, they've got an owner now that can take them to the next level. That in 10 years' time, AmaZulu is a force, not only in South Africa, but maybe on the continent.
Yeah, I think AmaZulu are just going to be an interesting one to watch because, you know, again, everything they've done right so far, but you have to keep doing it. That's the whole thing about like football and why I see people always talking about, yeah, I know in our days this happened, we were far more professional, but they weren't. You know, there's certain elements were more professional, but the game evolves. And that's what new club owners have to realize as well. Like AmaZulu, as long as Mr. Zungu and Mr. Zungu maintain this, they're inspiring to watch. But next year, they have to be equally inspiring because football evolves. You know, I see it so often where you start to think that, okay, well, we've built this foundation. Now we can just sail along. It doesn't work like that. You know, in business, you always have to keep changing. You have to keep things at a next level. You can't say, we signed these players last season. That doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Mulenga, Mamela, fantastic this season. There's no guarantee they're going to be fantastic next season. So you have to hope that, but also hope that the next lot of players that you sign take the game to the next level. And they've been very fortunate that they actually, I mean, when Benny came in, they had obviously signed a lot of those players already. So they had a bunch of hungry players. They added the aura of Benny. I've also been fortunate enough to watch him work. He's also, I mean, puts a lot of effort in. I interviewed him about 3 weeks ago, and I it's one of the perceptions that I wanted to break about him, that it's not, Benny has an aura when he walks into a room, but people forget that the hard work he put in as a player as well. You know, all his former teammates would tell me, yeah, Benny was great jokes and everything in the changing room, but on the field, he was the hardest worker, and he actually didn't enjoy jokers at work. You know, I remember Dane Clate actually going on radio once and telling Marawa how they were leading 2-0 at halftime, and he walked into the dressing room all happy and all of that. And Benny and them clapped him on the head and said, wait, you haven't done anything. Also, you know, AmaZulu, you're talking about the big future. Benny's not going to be there for 10 years. So who comes after Benny? You know, you have to be thinking about, not necessarily thinking about who, but you have to be thinking about the type of coach you want. You know, you can't go medium, high, and expect to be on high all the time. You have to make sure that you bring in the right people always, and players as well. And so they're going to be a fun one to watch, because we've seen a lot of teams start on these highs. Maintaining it is difficult. Cape Town City kind of went through a bit of a slump. You know, they're still up there, but it's because they're up there because of that beginning start. I actually teased John recently, because I was at the airport when Cape Town City players arrived for the first time. And John pulled me aside then and said, oh, just as long as we can avoid relegation this season. And 4 weeks later or 5 weeks later, when the season started and everything started so great, that was the only time I ever heard John talk about relegation. You know, it's the only time ever was before the club even had a name. After that, their level of ambition was just higher. And, you know, you have to maintain that. So in 3 years' time, let's hope AmaZulu are still at least top six challenging always now. You can't jump out of that.
Yeah, most definitely. If we could just end on the note of the player of the season, the PSL have sent out a list of the nominees. I'm not going to go through all the nominees, but I think the three players that stand out is all three have been voted or nominated for the Footballer of the Season and the Player's Player of the Season is Thabiso Kutumela, Peter Shalulile, and Themba Zwane. If we could just maybe focus on the main award, which is that one. What did you make of the nominees? Just quickly, maybe just a word on all three of them. I was quite surprised by Themba Zwane. Okay, he's had another solid season. He started the season really well, but not been as good in the second half of the season. Peter Shalulile has come in and been incredible for Sundowns. So I think that was a no-brainer. Also a bit surprised by Thabiso Kutumela, even though he's had his best season that I can remember. What did you make of the three? And do you think there's a clear winner here?
Yeah, I would... You know, when it comes to these judging and voting things, it's always interesting because I'm pretty sure that in that room where they were discussing it, there were maybe 10 names, maybe 8 names came out. And I always think that when you only name three, it's a little misleading because I bet you that all those other names that we're thinking of, your Njibulo Ngobo, your Bradley Krobler, although, again, very much like Themba Zwane, they started the season on a house on fire and then faded off. There are actually quite a few names I'm thinking of who would be fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and was probably equal to third, maybe even equal to second. Let's just, in Zwane's case, because I think a lot of people were surprised, but for the first 2 months of the season, he was by far the best player in the league. And we're only in a 6-month season or 7-month season. It's a very compressed season. Yeah. So guys, you know, and I think Kutumela, the last 2-3 months of the season, he's been like that for Maritzburg. You know, he's been excellent these last few months. Which leaves Shalulile, who's been excellent throughout the season. So I think Shalulile was the easy nomination in this category. You know, isn't the top scorer, but is right there with Bradley Krobler, and has scored consistently throughout. Themba Zwane, the player of the first third of the season.
Yeah.
Kutumela, maybe the player of the last third of the season. But there's so many guys who are really good, but maybe just not consistent. Throughout, including maybe two of the nominees.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what? The one thing about football is that it is a game of opinions. You know, it's easy to nominate the Golden Boot winner or the winner of the most clean sheets. Yeah. It's easy to nominate those kinds of guys. I think of last season where I watched a goalkeeper concede more goals than any other keeper, I think, in the league, or second or third, but also make the most saves of any other goalkeeper in the league because his defense was so damn leaky. He was saving left, right, and center. But he will not be nominated for goalkeeper of the season because the guy who can pull out a deck chair can be goalkeeper of the season because his side were just so good that he's always going to get a clean sheet.
Yeah.
You know, so even the statistics and that lie a bit.
Statistics are like a bikini, like Steve Compella loves to say.
Yeah, no, and he's right. Because while they do tell you a lot, you also have to take things into context. South Africans are emotional football voters, whether it be the fans, whether it be commentators, whether it be us as journalists, whether it be the players themselves. We're emotional. I've watched strikers have 90 minutes of the worst game of their life where they were running the wrong direction all the time. And then in the last 4 minutes of the game, they score a hat trick because they were standing in the right place and hit them on the back. It hit them on the nose. And then they hit them on the knee and they get man of the match. Because it says 3 goals next to his name. And when you look at afterwards, you would say, okay, well, he's the man of the match. But he was crap. He ruined the team the whole game. But we're emotional. We're like that. We don't often award real consistency. for those that don't know, I'm like biased about someone like Juan Paul Kakana. Because of that, you know, from watching him at Black Leopards, then Supersport, then Bloom Celtic, then Sundowns. If you had to look at his match statistics per game, and maybe obviously until this past season where he's played less, he was ridiculously consistent in what he did. He delivered a very similar performance in every single game. He's the type of player as a coach I want because I know what I'm getting. I do think in awards and all these things, we're very often emotional in how we see it. I mean, if Kutumela had played like he'd played the last 2 months throughout the season, he'd have 30 goals. If Tembezwani had played like he'd played those first 2 months, I think he wouldn't be in South Africa anymore. The whole world would be watching what he was doing because that's how good he was at the beginning. Shalulile, consistent, yeah. You know, because yes, he doesn't necessarily miss as many chances. He's also a very good creator. And again, I take into context that he was coming into a team as well. So he was consistent considering that he was new to the team. The amount of the you know, so it's an interesting one. But I'm also I do feel sorry for a lot of players who weren't nominated because I think there was no super standout. No, you know, like every now and then you have a season where you go, okay, that's your player of the season.
Yeah.
This season there could have been 10 nominees and we would have had the same argument.
Yeah, most definitely. Rob, I think we'll end it on that note. Thanks for your expertise and your insight as always. It's been great chatting to you and good luck with everything going your way. And enjoy the off season, so to speak. I know there's never really an off season as a journalist because it goes straight into the transfer window. All the best.
And to you, Abiha, enjoy the winter.
I'll try my best. Thank you for listening to another episode of Disky Discussions. If you have any questions or guests you'd like me to have on the show, please hit me up at @AB_Basson on Instagram or on Twitter. Stay safe, like, subscribe, away.